Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. Meet Kelly Light, animator, illustrator, Chuck Jones fangirl. Welcome to All the Wonders, the Children's Book Podcast. I'm Matthew Winner. This is episode number 266 of the podcast with Kelly Light, author-illustrator of Louise and Andy, The Art of Friendship, the sequel to 2014's Louise Loves Art. I consider Kelly a close friend, and so I decided to do things a little differently for her newest book release. I asked a number of Kelly's picture book illustrator friends to contribute an image of their character or characters wearing Louise's iconic red glasses. And then I asked them, what's the art of friendship? 17 different artists responded, and you can view what they shared by visiting allthewonders.com. Feel free to download the images and share over your favorite social media sites. Or better yet, create an illustration or quote of your own symbolizing the art of friendship. I'd love to see what you share, and I'd love even more so for this book and the spirit of these guests' illustrations to help raise spirits and reach those who need to feel just a little more love today. Our country has had a difficult week, and I think that some love and compassion and friendship might do a lot of good right now. I'm thankful for the release of Louise and Andy, because it's been a good time for me to hold close to those I love, Kelly being one of those very special friends. Here is episode number 266 of the podcast, with Kelly Light. Welcome back to the podcast, Kelly Light. Oh, my friend, I've missed you.
Hey, Matthew, I'm so glad to be back.
It's been a while, buddy.
It has. It's been a long time.
I say this because it feels like, it doesn't just feel like. A lot of things have happened for Louise and the way that she has connected with readers and the reading community since we last talked. Louise Loves Art, of course, is what I'm talking about. But Kelly, I'm so thankful that your character, whom you love and who perhaps is an extension of you, is now out there being loved and embraced and even imitated in some cases by your readers. What a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting to look back since the book came out in 2014, the first book. And it's pretty exciting to see how kids and teachers and art teachers and parents have embraced her. As kind of like a muse, which is I couldn't have hoped for anything more.
What better than to have a character? I was going to say a child, because she's a person to me, Louise is, but to have a child that kids can see themselves in and just see that celebration of making art and expressing yourself. And just that whole notion of of putting yourself onto the paper that way. I just think it's beautiful, and it's a quality that I've imparted on reader after reader now, not only since you visited my school so they all know you, but also just because it becomes an easy shorthand to tell them and to encourage them to make art.
To make art and express themselves in lots of different ways. And right.
It's that imagination on the outside.
It is. Get your imagination out there any way. It might be with a pencil, but it might be, you know, some other way. And it's even been surprising that they have, you know, the Mighty Girl. Do you ever see the campaign online? The Mighty Girl they picked.
Yeah. They picked she's
been 4 or 5 times gone through there. And it's thrilling. It's thrilling, you know, to think she's a mighty girl with her mighty pencil. It's pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome. A mighty girl with beautiful big red glasses and a pencil. I love it. Oh, well, we should talk then about her triumphant return in Louise and Andy, The Art of Friendship. Do you want to share? I know we talked about this before recording that I think this is the first time you've sort of had a chance to tell people what the story is, right?
Right. So
I mean, formally, you've been talking about it for a while.
Right. So so Louise and Andy, The Art of Friendship is really a very basic story about two people who meet for the first time. So Louise gets a new neighbor whose name is Andy. And of course, Louise being who she is, she's so hopeful that Andy's going to love art too, like she does. And when she finds out Andy actually does love art, she thinks it's the best day ever. But as is the case quite often, you can have similar interests but see things differently with a friend or a new friend. So they see things quite differently and they express themselves quite differently. And they kind of have to figure out that, hey, that's okay. It's okay to see things differently. It's okay to look at things differently. It's okay to have differences. You can have common ground, but you don't have to be exactly alike.
I think that not only seeing those differences, but also in the book to have the moment of disappointment, of maybe even a better feeling for it is betrayal. Because I think in Louise Loves Art, we had this moment of betrayal where Art, Louise's brother, was cutting up one of her masterpieces. So there's a moment there where Louise reveals her character to us, right? I think we talked about this last time.
Right.
But in Louise and Andy, there's also that great moment of betrayal where they're making art together and then something happens that draws them apart. And I'm not one to spoil a book, even a picture book, but that the way that that is resolved and handled in a different way, I think shows the reader that not only is it good, as like in the first book, for us to step up ourselves sometimes and put our humility aside and be the one to apologize, but there are other times too when sometimes our friends can beat us to it.
Right.
That was safe, right? That was a safe summary.
That was very good.
Okay, good. I felt like I was ice skating a little bit, but I didn't fall through the ice. I'm okay. Okay, so Louise Loves Art is primarily red, black, white. I like the aesthetic. I felt like on your whole book tour, you matched your book, and that's the coolest thing ever to me. But let me just call you out on this, because me being a super nerdy boy, that hopefully you love me for who I am, but you added blue in this book, and now all I can think is those rad 3D glasses.
Oh, wow. I haven't even thought about that.
That's where I jumped to.
Oh, 3D glasses. That's true.
I love that Andy is, that she is the extension of the artist that we see her as. I assume there's an influence of like Andy Warhol there, right?
Right. I wanted to pick, in my mind, if Louise is the type of artist, of course, she's loosely based on me, who draws from her imagination, which, you know, a lot of times cartoonists do. Some artists, you know, say what artist is so symbolic of that kind of too cool for school artistic attitude that in the art world you do kind of face. And I think somebody who could be very, very different and be very, very specific about the kind of art they like and not be as flexible. So she is loosely based on Andy Warhol, because it is the idea of what Andy, the kind of art that Andy Warhol made, which was very iconic. And some people would argue not necessarily very original, but completely original in who they were, who he was. So that's why Andy is kind of, Andy, my character, is kind of based on him, to be a contrast to Louise.
I like that in the contrast. We this is your animator side coming out. I know this. I know how well you work with characters and can position them just so. And you've got such a great way of expressing through body language. But Andy is no exception in this, that she is almost the opposite of Louise in every way, even down to her design, but down to for Louise to have these sort of ordinary glasses and Andy to have the tinted glasses and Andy to have this bright blonde hair and for her to never show teeth when she's smiling, if she's ever smiling at all.
Right. She's literally cool.
She's cool. I was gonna say,
she's cool and reserved and not emotional. And Louise, from the first book even to this book, Louise is overly emotional and so expressive. That's her character. So Andy is the opposite of her. And I like to think of them, I don't know how familiar you are with Little House on the Prairie, but when I was a kid, I just loved Little House on the Prairie. And Half Pint. So Laura Ingalls' character, she had Nellie Olson. And that's how I think about Louise and Andy, as they're kind of like Peg Half Pint and Nellie Olson. Like, they're opposites. Like, they if they didn't have this common ground, maybe they would be adversaries. But they have this link. They have their love of art that gives them this little bit of insight into each other. And then they kind of have to bridge the gap somehow.
Yeah. I need to, there's so many things about you, Kelly, that I just love, especially that when I read a picture book by you, I feel like I just know you and your interests really well, because I mean, I know you from friendship. I know you from Instagram also and Facebook and things like this, but I say this because you've got this like amazing retro style, vintage style. It's, I love that about you. And I love that in this book, it feels like that too. Just the all I can think of, the way I can only word it, is the set decoration you've done.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's, and then that's also a contrast to Louise, because Louise's house was had an older feel from where, you know, the house, when you open Louise and Andy, you start in Louise's house and then she winds up over at Andy's house, and then in the end you wind up back at Louise's house, and Louise has an antique bed, and you know, so it's a complete contrast to Andy. And obviously, you know, I know we're going to talk about the trailer at some point, but I think that the book and the trailer really speak to my absolute insane passion for cartoons from the 50s and 60s.
Yes, that aesthetic is so rich in, especially in your trailer, because it moves and makes noise at us. The music selection that you have, the way the scenes change in the trailer, everything about that speaks so strongly to the feel, the vibe, the aesthetic of your books.
The way that I work on the trailers, my first trailer for the first book, and I work on with my friend Joanna Davidovich, and we have such a common unspoken language. I just said to her, I was like, we want Friz Freleng, who was a Warner Brothers animator who did the opening to Pink Panther. So I'm like, we want Friz Freleng who meets Saul Bass. Saul Bass did a lot of animated movie openings, like It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World. And then there's the opening to I Dream of Jeannie. There's the animated opening to the old show My Three Sons. And then there's a little tiny pinch, a little soupçon of my favorite Chuck Jones in there too. So we tried to blend that feeling of, you know, all of those, the great little animated, you know, ingredients into a very delicious soup that would, you know, that would be like, you know, if you watch the trailer, you immediately, it evokes immediately the music. It's like, it's got to be go-go music. You know, it's got to be go-go music. I mean, Andy wears go-go boots, so how could I go anywhere else? I got to have a little, you know, I have a little swinging go-go music. So, yeah, it's my heart. It really is. And I came, you know, because you know my background, I came to picture books from an animation background.
Yeah.
I cannot think about it differently. When I make the books, all I'm doing is pushing pause on the animation in my head, and the book comes out. So when I'm making the books, they're an animated little movie, an animated short in my head. And that's the only way I can do it, because that's the way that I came to it, you know?
I mean, I can see this from, I know that you storyboard. I know that your process still reflects the skill set that you came from. You're just applying you to the picture book making process.
Yes. And it really feels to me, very, very organic. You know, the two things are so similar. And I know because you speak to so many people who have come to the world of children's books from animation. And, you know, I'm friends with Molly Idol. And, like, we have this kind of understanding that it's very similar. It's visual storytelling. You know, it's just that you're just doing it statically. But that page turn is almost like a flip when you flip animated drawings. It works very similarly. It's
nice.
This mode of transition of movement, whether it be movement in your imagination or actual physical movement, like in animation. So,
well, I will say, especially for this second trailer, the first one was so good. And I feel like, you know, we don't need to get into the fact that a good book trailer can really help a book if it reaches a wide audience. But at the same time, that's not something that a publisher has funding to be able to pay an animator to do. It really is to your benefit that you come from animation and have that skill set to do it. But in particular, Kelly, for this trailer, I felt like you could almost shop that trailer around to get this book picked up for an animated series. It was like that strong. The storytelling in the trailer was that strong. I just really want to tell you that I've watched that trailer. I'm responsible for at least like 50 of your views, just watching it over and over and being
it's
taken
very
back
exciting.
To that time.
It's gotten a lot of views in a very short amount of time. And that's very exciting. And I think you're not the only person who said that so far.
That means it's true. We all are. I mean, when I watch it, I'm brought back to the cartoons I watched as a kid and just the feel of it, this is what I want to watch. I mean, I'm not even intending to do it. Just, I'm positive the kids are probably asking, because that's what kids do. The kids are probably asking, like they do for Aaron Becker with Journey, with his trailers. Mm-hmm. They ask if that's a movie that they can check out. Oh, that's just actually a really beautiful trailer leading you into this book.
I really, making the trailers, it feeds my soul. I can't even. I know. I think I go above and beyond a little bit, but because I left animation, I can make these trailers and I can be my little animation movie mogul for a minute and a half or however long the trailer is. That, like, I'm like, I'm going to make my own cartoon. So, and you know, because you've seen me give my presentation, like I say to the kids, like, I got to make my own cartoon.
You did. And you know what? That cartoon, just like the ones you were raised on and I was raised on, they're going to be around forever. Now, thanks to the internet, nothing is ever lost. So, and thankfully, actually, some of the older stuff that we used to watch that we probably all thought was lost forever isn't now. But to know that this cartoon exists in the format that it does, I think it's worth the time, because if you could have thrown something together where you just show the book cover and you sort of animate in the way that, you know, you sort of, I can't describe it because I don't know tools like this, but you sort of like cut out around the character and just bob them left and right.
Right.
Which is a thing that would be at the skill set level that I would have or someone above me might have, but not an animator skill set that you can actually you know,
bring
moving
a drawing
pictures.
to life, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, it is a specific skill, and it's to me, it's magic. It's art
It
magic.
is.
Actual animation is art magic, and it is if it's a thing, I think I might have even said this on the last time I was on the podcast. It's a thing when you do it, you get that feeling, and that feeling sticks with you, and you need it. It's like, yeah, like I did it once. It's like it's alive, alive, you know. And you always need to have that feeling again. Like once you've animated something, you're like, oh, I gotta make something, you know, I gotta make my drawings move again. I will say, and I'm gonna say this because maybe if I say this and put this out into the universe, it'll actually come true. I already know what I want to do for the next book's trailer.
Oh, cool. Now, so let me ask, I don't, how much can you say about next book? I mean, for goodness sake, this book hasn't even, by the time we're
Right.
recording it, hasn't even come out yet. So I don't mean to put, you know, cart before the horse, but,
The third book, Louise, we're going to see Louise at school.
Okay.
We're going to see Louise in art class with lots of other kids, and it will shake up her world again because she's not at home, she's not by herself. She's now an artist amongst lots of other artists. And it has a lot to do with kind of figuring out where it all comes from, where
Okay.
that spark comes from. So that'll be the third book. I don't think I can say the title yet.
No, but that, Kelly, even just the idea that you are approaching a character who is the same age as your audience, as your readers, and you're asking a question alongside them that they are asking, where does this all come from? Where do you find your voice as an artist? I might be reading into what your story is,
Yeah, that's pretty close,
but that
yeah.
idea, I think that's something that's what you do when you're in school. You're trying to learn that. So how great that, again, Louise will be on that journey with them. Do you have sort of another, I don't know how you call it, but I know in Louise I said that red was very prominent, like a spot color, and in Louise and Andy, the blue and the red play off each other. Is there another color that comes in to
It's
play that,
yellow
okay.
because it's red, blue, and yellow are the
It,
three primary
you got it.
colors.
Cool.
Yeah. And that wasn't planned with the first book when I picked the red, but when I picked blue for the second book, I was like, of
Of
course.
course
Like,
it is.
because I always say I try not to hit the kids over the head with the paintbrush with all the art stuff. It's like, I don't want to make it blaring, but when they sit next to each other on the shelf, it'll be red, blue, yellow, the first three books.
Yes.
So, and that's it. They're the three, you know, three primary colors. So they're all, you know, little, everything in the, you know, everything in the series, and even in the reader, the I Can Read series as well.
The Louise reader.
The Louisey readers. Yeah,
Sorry,
exactly.
I can't help myself.
That they're the same thing. It's always somehow gonna be tied back to the world of art and
Good.
things about art, but also about life for kids, you know. So it's like it kind of tries to straddle not being all about art, but it's there. It's always going to be there. That's the reason for her. That's her raison d'être. That's Louise's
Raison d'être.
thing.
Ooh, I'm learning new words
Right.
from you tonight. I like
Yes.
it. I need to bring you back if you don't mind. I want to
Yeah.
bring you back to a conversation that you and I had. It was not on recording. It was some other time that we've been together. But it's something that I have never let go of and has made me respect you. It set you apart in my mind from many people. So I don't think we ever talked about this, but I want to call you out on air, and you can talk about it as much as you're allowed to. But you have talked to me before about your, there's never been details, but about your like trajectory for the series. If you could have time to do as many Louises as the publisher will allow, and have these different people come into Louise's life the way you'd like to. You mentioned to me the idea or the importance to you of arts education, of STEAM, of getting that art and art integration into the classrooms. And that at the time you mentioned, and maybe this has changed or maybe you're still on track with this, the idea of the different people that come into Louise's life represent different, I'm not going to get the wording, but different like periods of art, different
Right.
influences like modern art, sculpt, you
Right.
know what I'm trying to say. Is that still a direction that you're looking the way of again, subtly,
Yes.
but
Yeah, subtly.
educating children that
Absolutely.
way? That's
I mean,
amazing, Cal.
absolutely. Yeah, exactly. To have things be fun yet tie back to art history. The next book is in art class, so it's also going to talk about her art teacher, you know, and to me, and I think I know that you and I have had the conversation about like art teachers are such unsung heroes in schools, and one of the most amazing things that has come out of Louise is a picture book, and picture books are your world. You're a librarian. Picture books have tons of space in regular academic classrooms, but Louise as a picture book has been used in so many art classes. So it's joining the world of literacy with the world of creativity and creation and art. And so many art teachers have written me and sent pictures of things that they have done in their art classes that have involved Kelly. Louise. To where I've had art teachers over this past school year. The book came out in 2014, but the 2015, you know, this last school year, art classes were decorated with Louise. You know, where I would send them printables, you know, decent quality images that they could print out and they could hang up around the class. And that is amazing.
Kelly.
I would like to grow that. I really would like to grow that. Yeah.
You and I know how genuine you are. So I'm saying this from a place of love, but in perhaps an unintended way, you've almost created, this is the wrong word. I'm just going to say it. You've almost created a mascot for the art classroom. Here's a person that knows us. Here's a person that you come into art. Louise is here. Remember Louise's stories, those experiences, those can be your experiences too in this classroom. That's amazing that you've done this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
girl.
Exactly. It's like, you know, it's a kind of way of tying back to who I was as a kid, as a grown up, and then reaching back and saying to not only the kids that are like me, because you know the kids who are the ones who have the passion and who will go on to be the artist, but to touch the ones that maybe aren't, you know, and to let them know like, this is so great, you know, like,
well, there's
like,
the quality of your good art teacher, right?
Right.
I have Lori Melendick. I'll call her out by name. Lori Melendick is the art teacher at my school, the full-time art teacher at my school. And she has the qualities of an exceptional art teacher. Same with Margie Eisenstein at Amy's school, at my wife's school. They are able to make every child in there that comes through their art room produces beautiful art, beautiful frame-worthy art. And it's because of their great skill as a teacher, you know, molding these children and offering art activity opportunities, art project opportunities, that every child can find a way to express themselves and be successful. And that mark is incredible. And to know that this is, you know, this is the banner you're waving too. Oh, it's just awesome.
Mm.
I love it. Don't you like, did you have a good art teacher when you were a kid?
I had several. I had several really good art teachers. But my two high school art teachers were stellar. And Mr. O'Brien, who I am now in touch with, who was one of my art teachers. Like, it's amazing. It is really amazing the impact. You know, the impact that any teacher can have on a kid. Yeah. But when a teacher really notices that there's a kid who is, you know, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs about whatever subject it is, you know, and really supports that kid. Like, I know, you know, the support that I got from my art teachers who recognized in me that, like, oh, this is this kid's thing. Really, they really do put some, you know, wind in your sails and, you know, help you move onward to pursue, you know, that slightly off the beaten path passion.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
We're nearing the end of our time. Can I go like a little bit lightning round on you?
Sure.
Cool. Okay. Tell me reactions. Louise as a doll from Merrymakers.
Okay. Well, you know, I have a history of making merchandise for Disney, Warner Brothers, Hanna-Barbera, Nickelodeon, Peanuts. I was a merch artist. I have my own merch.
I was a merch artist. Yes.
It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing that
There
there.
is a, you. You wanted your own cartoon. You have Louise. You can hold Louise. You do hold Louise.
I hold Louise, and I see other I see kids hold Louise,
It's
and
Julia's baby. Ju
yay!
Louise is. I'm telling you, we have a basket of babies, and Julia, our daughter. Sorry, those listening. Julia. That's her baby. She likes her Louise.
I think Merrymakers did an unbelievable job capturing Louise. It's unbelievable.
So good. Okay, next one. Emily Arrow.
Is my little sister. She is my little sister. Yeah, I can't even I can't even say how proud I am of Emily. Met her, played the song, played the Louise Loves Art song.
On your book tour, Kelly, that's when she came up, right? That this was after we first talked, but I remember you texting or emailing me that this girl with a ukulele said, "Hey, I wrote a song about Louise Loves Art. Can I play it at what were you at Vroman's or something?"
I was at Vroman's in the parking lot in Pasadena, California, and from that moment until I left that trip out in California, she and I were inseparable. She went to every book event, and we've talked ever since, and I adore her. And the video came out, was like,
Beautiful,
yeah,
beautiful
the
video.
beautiful video.
I mean, it's a great
Yeah.
song. It's a wonderful song.
And it
But
perfectly captures everything. And that's where her, she is, she has the ability to perfectly capture mood and character. And she is a gift. She is a gift.
So here's how I'm going to play this. You wanted a cartoon, and you have your own cartoon. You have your own merch. You have your own like theme song.
I have a music video.
You have a music video. So I want to ask you to finish a sentence just 'cause I wonder. Okay, so Kelly, for you, what is the art of friendship? The art of friendship is
Oh gosh, the art of friendship is opening your heart to people and allowing them in, and then allowing them to give you so much that you can't believe, you cannot believe how lucky you are to have these people in your life. That's how I feel. I'm at a moment in my life where I look around and I am so grateful for the people in my life, whether they be old friends, new friends, the people that Louise has brought into my life, like you or Emily, and the people, the people that the books have brought into my life. I look around and I pinch myself. So the art of friendship is literally, being open to connection and accepting people for who they are.
Yes.
And it's the greatest. It's the
Kelly.
greatest gift I have.
Kelly, I'm glad that Louise brought you into my life. I'm
Oh.
grateful to her for that. I want to give you the final word as we leave here, and I want to bring it back to your readers, to my students, to all of the students out there. I'm going to see a library full of children tomorrow morning. Kelly, what message would you like me to bring them from you?
I want them to walk into the library and I want them to set their imaginations free, because that amount of time they get in their day to be in the library. And like I say, libraries and art classes are similar because they both are imagination expanders. In the library, you can set that imagination free and to embrace that and get everything that you can out of it, because it will feed the rest of your life.
This podcast is recorded and produced by me, Matthew Winner, in my library studio in Ellicott City, Maryland. You can subscribe to the podcast and access the archive of over 250 episodes at All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com and check out other podcasts from All the Wonders, including the Picture Booking Podcast with Nick Patton, a semi-weekly podcast about picture books and the people who make them. Our theme music is by Emily Arrow. All views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the individuals, myself included, and do not reflect ideas or viewpoints of the publishers of the books referenced. Listeners, if the episode connected with you, I'd love to hear it. Leave a comment on allthewonders.com or rate this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher through stars or reviews. Sharing the podcast with friends through Facebook and Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. And that's a very good thing indeed. Coming up on the podcast, John David Anderson visits to share Miss Bixby's Last Day, a new middle grade novel. And after that, Min Lay and Isabel Rojas join me to talk about Let Me Finish, Min's debut picture book. See you then, and thanks for listening. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep, and I'll see you there.